All right, welcome to the Passes Pride podcast. I'm here with Zach, Michael on the board, and yours truly. And this is the March Madness edition. So I know, Zach, you've done your brackets and you're all set. You've been watching a lot of college basketball this year anyway. I know.
That's all I do.
I know you're a big big college basketball fan.
Huge.
Huge. And of course, Mikey, also a big college. This is the thing about it. I watched more women's basketball this year than men's, and we talked about this before. But everybody's an expert when they're doing their bracket. Like, everybody thinks they know something, or they have a way of doing it. They're like, what's the mascot of one team as opposed to the other? Or who's, like, what part of the country are they from? Or did I go to that school or whatever? That's, you know, the whole thing. Now, Notre Dame didn't make the men's team didn't make the tournament. The women's team did. But I'm going to give you my final four picks later. Mikey got me into ESPN, and I did a couple of brackets last night, more than, you know.
Are these, paid brackets?
Or no, okay. Trust me. My brackets, I'm usually out in the first weekend with my my knowledge of the...
Well, I think they're like those things where you could win. You know, okay. Basically, if you have a perfect bracket, but there's no buy-in.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, no, you don't have to buy. No.
Because I know you're pretty active on FanDuel or whatever.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could bet every game.
I'm sure.
That's the whole thing about it. And the other thing, and I'll circle back to this at the end, but it's 64 teams now. It's 68 teams, but you have play-in games to make it 64. But they want to expand the tournament, because it's going to be more money for the NCAA, because this is their big money maker. There's $1 billion of contracts, and they at first they were talking about 96 teams, then they may go to 80 teams, but this is the biggest revenue maker for the NCAA, the college basketball tournament. The NCAA, the football tournaments, you know, the bowl championships, in a few years after these contracts run out, they're going to just, football is going to go away and say, we don't need an NCAA governing body. We're going to deal with it ourselves. But this is their moneymaker, and this is why they want to expand, because the more you expand, the more games there are, the more money there is, the longer the tournament might go, you know, the whole bit. So this is a big thing for the NCAA. And we're doing this on Thursday. It started today. I didn't really watch anything today about it. But I'm pretty sure a couple of my teams already lost
in
my bracket.
Did this start later than normal?
It always starts around this time of year, and then it goes until April. The tournament, I think the game is April 8th, if I'm not mistaken, is the men's final. The women start, I think, Sunday.
Wow, they get through it fast. They get through.
Well, you play Thursday. If you play Thursday, you play Saturday. If you play Friday, you play Sunday. Then you get from 64, you go to 32, and then you play again another weekend, and then you break it down. Then there's the big Final Four the weekend before the final game. That's the Saturday, and then the Monday is the final game. So that's how it's broken down. And the women, you know, I watched probably, like I said, more women with Caitlin Clark in South Carolina, and, you know, and some LSU games. But, I mean, it's fun to do it. When I was younger, I won a couple of times. We used to do them at work. We used to have the brackets and everything, and I won a couple of, you know, $100 here and there doing it, but I haven't come close. I'm on a big drought of years and years of doing it. But like I said, I'll give you my final four teams before the end of the show. But as we always do, we talk a little entertainment, always bring up James Bond. Now, the new Bond guy, supposedly,
it's not.
Is this Aaron Taylor Johnson? That's the guy that's being floated now. Mikey, you know him from.
Well, he's in it a lot, but he was Quicksilver in Marvel. That's what I knew him from mainly. He's a superhero.
He was in Kick-Ass. He was in the Marvel
Bullet
movies.
Bullet Train,
which he's good in.
He was in that Godzilla in 2016. Yeah, that one. Yeah,
he was in Tenet for a couple of minutes. You know, he's.
All right. So what I'd like to know is, Mike, is he a good Bond, or was he when you heard it, or maybe, because like I said, it's speculation, but this is the first time you've got a, you know, somebody that's really out there.
Yeah, apparently I've seen, like, his IGN and other places have posted, like, apparently a contract's there, you just have to sign it, so it's really, like, kind of almost, definitive that he's going to be it, which is, like, that, you know, signing it, that depends on how many movies he's going to want to do and how many they want to do with it or whatever, right. If it's a one-off or I don't know, but I didn't even know he was British, so I didn't expect, because I've only seen him in stuff where he's kind of been like American or in Marvel he was like Sokovian, which is like kind of a fake,
vaguely Eastern European.
Yeah, exactly, so I didn't even know that he was an English actor anyway, so that was a shock to me. So, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. He's not a bad actor, but I did not think he was even in the running for it, so I'm just shocked.
Do we know if they have a script for the new one, or is there... It used to be bonds for every, like, 2 or 3 years, right?
Every 2 years, yeah.
So this probably won't be till 26 at least, right? You figure?
I think it's going to be like 26 maybe.
So we have time to work on this, because Mikey had talked about doing it a different way on a different on our other podcast, and maybe doing it in black and white, or are they going to redo another Bond and like, you know, From Russia with Love or Goldfinger or something, or are they just going to come up with a whole new...
I don't think, and I really hope that we'll never see a Bond remake.
Casino Royale we talked, but it wasn't
that
really,
that wasn't really, that was a comedy. Well, the movie was a comedy,
right?
That's
right.
Like unwatchable, and then they made it something, right? But yeah, even if you watch, like, especially like in the 70s, like every third Bond was just a remake of another Bond, but in a different, Thunderball and The Spy Who Loved Me, like it's the same deal, and Moonraker, like, you know, like it's just like something gets stolen, like it's the same beats,
right?
I don't know. I'm happy we've talked about Bond so much on this podcast. It's new. It's good. I was completely wrong about Daniel Craig. I too kind of thought like after Pierce Brosnan, who I really loved how he started, I hated how it ended, mm-hmm. and I was kind of like, Bond's dead. And then I was completely wrong about Daniel Craig. I was like, first of all, this is so stupid. They're casting a blonde guy. I didn't think he was right, and I didn't think that it worked. And then he went on to have two of my favorite, like up there with my favorite Bond movies. And then ones that I think his end was not very... I did not like the last one.
Right.
And Spectre's kind of a mess. Quantum of Solace, I can't really blame anyone for it, except for maybe the writer's strike with that one. I think that if you watch Casino Royale into Quantum of Solace, it's a better movie.
Yeah.
But anyway... So I guess I'm just going to hold back my judgment. As weird as it is, I don't want Bond to be huge. I don't want him to be built too much, because it doesn't really... That doesn't work for an English spy for me.
Right. So Daniel Craig was pretty... But he wasn't like the Rock. Stallone built like, you know, from Rocky days or whatever.
And he was most certainly the most built Bond. I mean, like, maybe if you look at young Connery when he was Mr. Universe. I've liked this guy in pretty much everything I've seen him in. I can't see him as Bond yet.
Well, it's going to be the script more than anything else with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's going to drive this thing. Are we going to, like, because Mike had mentioned it before, how many things can they do? You know, like, what can they come up with? What could they possibly, Bond, be doing now? Is it going to be going after warheads again, or, you know, something? You know, the script's got to be tight, is what I'm trying to say here.
And technology, gadgets aren't cool anymore.
Right, that's the word I couldn't remember. Mike brought that up. Gadgets, that's the word
No one cares about a Bond gadget, because everything we've got is kind of...
This pen is a laser or whatever. You know?
So you need to have an interesting story that can, you know, lean into other things. And, you know, maybe make, you know... How do you interestingly make, you know, technology bad? Or you know, if that's... Or whatever, you know. But, like, we're in a different world. But it's always interesting to see how the Bond movies adapt. They're probably, like, the most... Each one is the most of their time and out of place in all of them. So they adapt more than other movie series. And I think it's important that it's still around. I like that there's still something that...
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever go away. You just don't want it to go, like, to, you know, like a streaming service right away. You know, it used to be a big deal when a Bond movie would come out. The song was a big deal. you know, who was going to, you know, who was going to, you know, be singing it. With Madonna had sung, you know, they mm-hmm. had, you know, all the different people that sang, you know, at the time. So you wonder who's going to. Did Adele ever do?
Yeah, what? Adele did. In my top three, if not my number one favorite, Skyfall.
Right, that's right. Okay, she so did. I want, yeah, because like Madonna had done it, and then you had, did Duran Duran do one? Or,
yep,
right.
They did View to a Kill, I think.
Right. So, you know, they had, at whoever was big at the time was involved in the music of it and the whole bit. There was a big production in getting people, oh, Bond's coming out, but it has to be director, script, we have to see what's going to, you know, what's going to happen
with
it.
Didn't the newest one that came out, Daniel Craig's last one, did Billie Eilish do a song for it? That's who was
talking about. Right, she did.
She just won her second Oscar, and her first Oscar was for that song from
Right. From she's Bond. Got two already. She's not even, what, 20-something
years old? She's the youngest double winner of an Oscar. Jeez. I think she's 26, 20.
Yeah, she's young. She's really young. Juliana is a big fan of Billie Eilish.
Yeah, she so, but I didn't, like you said, I didn't even remember, but like they do always, that is a big focal point, is the song.
It is a big deal about it.
It was, the last couple have just been, you had Billie Eilish, then before that it was Sam Smith, then Adele.
Right.
And then before Adele it was this really weird one that, it stinks because the guy who did it is a huge Bond fan, but the song wasn't that great. It was, Mike White and Alicia Keys did the song for Quantum of Solace, and then to redo the whole thing was Chris Cornell did the Bond song for Casino Royale. So that's just like, I mean, those are pretty big people.
Yeah, exactly.
It's cool. It's an
you want to be tied to it if it's a good movie, mm-hmm. but even the movies might not have been great, but. You know, Billie Eilish is a great singer. Adele's a great singer. Chris Cornell. You know what I mean? You know, so it's good to be part of it if the whole thing works together. You know, that's what you want. Like the song is a big part of it, and the acting obviously is the big key. And who will be the villain and the whole bits? But we have some time now to write a script, I guess, and get it out there.
I've got my treatment.
I'm telling you. Please. Work together. We put our heads together and come up with something. And Mike will come up because he's so good with, you know, maybe he can come up with a gadget that everybody will think is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can work on something, Mike.
I'll definitely think of that.
You know, like, what are they going to go for? Because I'm curious to see how it's going to, you know, to be and everything. And if this guy is going to be the Bond guy, I mean, he's good looking. You know, that's one of the prerequisites you have to have. You know, he's in good shape. Not like Roger Moore, you know.
You know, listen, you know, I've made a lot of fun of Roger Moore in my life, and I did not like Roger Moore, but the more I watch him, and when you see things now, because I've gotten to rewatching all of them, you know what? I think he's the guy who had the most fun as James Bond.
Oh, yeah. He played it a campy little bit, or, you know, he enjoyed the... He knew... Yeah. I know what you mean.
For as campy as it is, too, he didn't... Like, he's always there. He didn't lean into the camp. The movies are campy, but... He's having a lot of fun. I always feel like I was a little hard on Roger Moore when I was a kid because I didn't like it. But now you get older, it's like every one of those movies is fun. They're
right.
stupid.
They're
but
still,
they're fun.
You know, they're on. You know, if you flicking around and you see, you say, I'll stay with it for a little bit and see what's going on and whatever. Now, you watched the Dune movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, Timothée Chalamet is the. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw something on Timothée Chalamet that him and John Travolta have in common. They had the back-to-back years. They had the number one box office movie. He did Wonka.
Okay.
And then he did Dune, which
that was
is
number one box office. Wonka.
The last year's box office was weird.
Yeah, and then really John weird. Travolta had it for Grease and Saturday Night Fever. Back-to-back years, they were the number.
I thought it would be like Pulp Fiction or something.
No,
I didn't think it would be.
I think he was the. The star of that, he was the main draw on that. So for Grease, he was the guy, and then the next year he followed it up with Saturday Night Fever. So he had, and now Timothée Chalamet is now. If I read that right, I read it. I was
well. I mean, because
I'm on
I
my phone,
if,
so sometimes I'm a little, you know, a little.
Well, Dune came out. The first Dune came out in 2021, and so okay. No, I mean it wouldn't it. It's. I know that Dune 2 is currently the number one movie
right.
of this year.
I think maybe it was just opening box or whatever. I should have read it more thoroughly before I But I know that they said, what do John Travolta and Timothée Chalamet have in common? I was thinking basically nothing.
Yeah.
But they both had hits, you know, back-to-back years, number one movies. And was Dune good? Was it...
It's very good. They managed to adapt the unadaptable. I just have a little problem with the ending. I don't know if anyone...
Was it open-ended that they're going to do another one? Or is it... Because you said there's a lot of books in the series. Or
yeah, I think they're saying now they want to do four movies. Because I think that this just made... This just did really good. People weren't expecting it to do as good. The next books get like it gets dark and then it gets weird. I don't think they're gonna go away before it gets weird, because Dune can get very, very weird. And there's people who like the weird stuff and people who don't. I really don't like the weird stuff. I like the other stuff a little bit more. The ending, there's a character who's played by Zendaya, and her name is Chani. In the book, she's kind of underwritten, but her character is really important. In this one, they did give her more of a backbone, and I like that, more of a, like, you know, more of a character. But I ultimately think that in the end, they kind of did her a disservice, and she's such a big part of later movies. I don't know
who is the actress?
Zendaya.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't really know what they're gonna do with it. It left me kind of confused. Like, I liked
it. It's not gonna be a spinoff of Dune, like.
No. Like, not to spoil anything, but like there's like, you know, like her character really isn't in threat of this. So she doesn't die. It's just they take her on a very different road than what happens in the book. And her being where she is at that point in the book is like kind of really important. So they kind of changed that. And I don't know where they go from here with all that. So I liked it, but I liked the first part a lot more. Between the two, I like Dune Part 1 more than Dune Part 2. And I know that I'm going to be in the minority, because this movie was very stunning. It was really, it looked beautiful. It was a really great action movie. It's, you know, space Lawrence of Arabia, really, is the best way to think about it. If you watch 1 and 2, it's Lawrence of Arabia in space. That's
a lot
really
of sand.
A lot of sand.
Okay.
A lot of sand, yeah.
Basically, dunes and sand.
Yes.
Dunes.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it, Mike, or you're not a dune...
I mean, I'll admit this, it's very objectively good. I've heard a lot of people like it, and it's honestly something that I would probably like if I watched it. I don't watch movies or TV, really. Like, since the last time we recorded, like, I've watched half of Goodfellas.
Really?
I just put it on one night because I was like, I just put it on, Julia, I've never seen it. And I was like, it was just kind of funny because we mentioned, I was like, oh, this is one of my favorite movies ever. I've never shown it to her. But we only made it through halfway, and we're like, oh, we're going to go to bed. We'll watch another night. We didn't watch it.
But you're more of a gamer, though, right?
I watch sports, and I game. And it's not like a bet. I just mean, like, Dune's bad or that. I'm bad with that. Like, I used to watch so much movies and so much. I would watch, like, every new movie that came out.
Right.
But now I'm like, I watch hockey all the time. I'll be watching now with the baseball starting up. I've been seeing some of that now. March Madness, I've caught some games. Funny, more women's and men's, which again, we mentioned is different than past years. But
yes.
I'll watch when Iowa's playing, you know, if it's on. Because, you know, it seems that like with all the streaming services that we do have collectively as a family, we get seemingly every game that's ever on except the ones that we want to watch, like, you know, Mets, Yankees, or Rangers.
Right.
But every conceivable game from every other sport is out there. So I'll watch a lot of sports and then I'll play games. And so it's just like, but I do admit, like, Dune is something that if I watched, I'd be like, oh, this is great. But I've just, like, I've wanted to watch so many movies that have, like, Oppenheimer I've wanted to watch. I haven't even gone back. Like, I wanted to watch 1917 or Dunkirk, just war movies I love.
Right.
I haven't watched any of those. I want to do a rewatch of Band of Brothers because I saw a big interview with a guy who, you know, there's a guy who played Abraham in Walking Dead.
Michael Colditz.
Yeah. I watched a big interview with him about, like, it was like this year about how he's still in contact with all the guys in the show and all that. And so it's like, I just wanted to, I just don't. So I'm like, really. But I have with that being said, I have heard so many good things about Dune 2, like, specifically, that I have been like, I should just sit down and watch at least the first one and get into, you know, but yeah. It's not something I would probably see in theater. But I'll watch the first one close enough to the second one coming to streaming. And, you know, to,
that might be the way to do it. Yeah, I mean, it is a beautiful movie to see in theaters. It looks really good. So, yeah, I mean, I
just, even as a kid, I never liked the theater. If you get like, right,
yeah, you never care. Yes, you'll be fine. I never
liked the theater. So then to me, I'm like, maybe I'll miss it on IMAX, but that's fine. I'll watch the first one on HBO, right? That's where it's on, right?
Yeah, it's on that, yeah.
And so I'll catch it from there. I do kind of, without being spoiler, I do kind of know a path that Timothée Chalamet's character takes. I know the turn that it takes there, so that's already something. It's not like I'm shielding myself from.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's like, yeah. But it's something that I'm sure if I sat down and watched, I'd enjoy it.
Yeah, I think you would. I mean, I don't know if it's like for everyone, but this
if nothing version... Less, it's gotten so many people in it that I do love. I mean, Oscar Isaac in the first one, obviously. Mm. I mean, I am a fan of Zendaya. In the second one, Dave Bautista. I know the guy who played Josh Brolin's in it, mm-hmm. too. It's like, so I'm like, oh, there's like a million people I like in these movies. I'm like, and it's a sci-fi type of space thing. You know, it's not like Star Wars space battle type thing, but I'm like, it's something that would be definitely in my wheelhouse of like, oh, I would like this.
You could watch these movies just for the fighting, because the fighting's very cool. It's like this, like...
Jason Momoa's in the first one, yep. too. Yeah, so I'm like, there's a ton of reasons why I would definitely enjoy this movie.
Yeah,
I feel like I should give it a try.
Like I was saying, like Dune can be really, really weird, really trippy, and I never like the trippy stuff, but some people do. But like this manages to. I would never say that. Oh, I could recommend Dune to the average person, but now I can say with these two movies, if you wanted to, you could see it and enjoy it. But I don't think it's for everybody. But it's been kind of nice to see that a lot of people are liking it. So it's good. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it's definitely went to a mainstream appeal, whether Dune is like, can easily be adapted to that. No, but it's definitely like more people that I've known have seen Dune that would have never.
Is it because of Timothée Chalamet being popular and Zendaya also? Or because she's Spider-Man. She's in the Spider-Man movies too, right?
Yeah, she's done a lot.
She's a box office draw, though,
A huge box office draw, yeah. No, I mean, the casting's very smart, but honestly, a lot of it comes down to the writing and the visuals that they could take this thing that seemed unadaptable and somehow manage to make it work. And they did. They did a good job of making it like a down-the-middle movie that people can go see. I mean, there's a lot cut out. There's some that I like that I cut out, but I understand. There's some stuff that I never liked in the books that wasn't in it, and was very happy that it wasn't.
Is it a long film? Like, over two?
Both movies are over two. Yeah. Yeah.
But did you feel it when you're watching? Because sometimes, if I'm at a theater, I don't even remember the last movie I saw. Barbie was the last movie I saw in the theater. And I didn't, like, get antsy, you know, during it. But I was like, I don't know if I could sit through... Like, I know, like we talked about, Oppenheimer, I couldn't sit through three, whatever, in a theater. I'd have to pause it. I'd have to go, like you do. Like
the last 3 hour plus movie I saw in the theater was The Batman with Robert Pattinson, and I was feeling it throughout that. I was like, I could totally take a pause and just
watch it. Right, that's... We didn't really talk about that movie yet. I have to say, that movie is just not very... That movie feels every minute of those 3 hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay at best, that movie.
I even thought that Christian Bale, some of the... even watching it on TV, I was like, ooh, this is... You know what I mean? I got to take a break here, pause it or something. Because I sitting in it... Because that was a long film, too.
I can see it with the third one,
Dark Knight. Yes. The third one has 16 acts, that movie.
We got to cut this down just a little bit, but I don't know, maybe because I'm used to just like TV and pausing it, or you know, like I have to get up and move around a little bit, but just to sit there through the whole thing, that's like Oppenheimer, I know I couldn't watch it straight through,
yeah,
something like that, because you know, first of all, you got to like really be into it and think a lot about it too, like who's the, you know what I mean, certain movies like you can follow through, you know, you can pick up and you whatever. But that one is going to be something like it's a history test almost, you know what I mean, with Oppenheimer.
Well, it's very tense, Oppenheimer. It's
right.
Like, it actually isn't very slow. It's just like tension constantly.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, there's just a thing that came out. I think it's like 2/3 of Americans would rather wait until a movie comes home. And even I like the theater experience. I like the share experience, but like, you know, people are not always great in movies. So it's.
You mean in the theaters?
In the theater.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing too. Like, you know, talking or get, you know, whatever. Like, I don't mind if I can get up, I can pause it. If it's there, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but I'm always tense in a movie theater. Just because it's either like you get, there's a bunch of like preteens who are there, they're screaming throughout the movie.
Right.
Or then it's like, I remember going to see Doctor Strange in the theater with a bunch of my friends, and we just kind of sat because the theater was packed, and I was sat next to somebody who was enjoying it way too much. Like their person, like they're jumping up, and like, you don't need to clap at the end of a movie. Like, I'm sorry. But so it's like there was that, but it's like, no, I get really tense in them because I'm always like, oh God, is this person gonna, you know, make too much noise, and then someone else is gonna, you know, and then there's gonna be a fight.
Be quiet.
And there's gonna be this.
Yeah,
and,
I know, that's the thing.
And there's been times in theaters with not me, but like people, like, yeah, they get the crew and they shine the flashlights and they pause the film and like that. Like, hey, can everybody?
I know. I like.
I'll watch it at my house. Like, I would sooner with a group of people who I knew wanted to see a movie, you can rent a theater for cheaper. Then, you know, if all of you did, you can honestly rent a theater and have like 15 of your friends just
go. That
would
be fun.
And that would, to me, would be a fun experience, which I have had that happen once in mine, and that was great. Because it's like, if you're in the theater full of people you know, they're like family and friends,
yeah, yeah.
That's, but like, I, as opposed to seeing it, they say like all those, with the AMC commercials, and it's like the theater feeling it with all these people with, I'm like, I could care less about the shared theater experience.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm sorry that Value Village closed, because I was always wanting to rent out like one of the theaters.
Well, you can rent out a theater at AMC. You can go to the one in Danbury and you can rent out a theater.
Some of them were starting like at like 200. Like,
I think it's less now. I think it's less than 200 to rent out a theater.
Really? So yeah. If there was a movie you really wanted to like do your own opening of a, like, it could be your theater.
You couldn't have been like on the night Dune came out. But, like, I
no,
run
no,
the theater,
I mean,
you
yeah.
know, but like you definitely
like a Sunday afternoon. You can
You can rent for like $100. You can rent the theater.
But do they at a certain time, or do I have to be there at like 8 a.m, or could it be like it?
I'm sure it's almost like in the, from what I remember, when it's like you can pick the time. I mean, there's different peak time again. Like if they're screening a ton of movies,
right?
Or are they having a lot of, but like you'd be not really surprised, like Zach, except for the 2/3 of people saying, but like the amount of times theaters are empty, like a theater that they're not screening any tickets for, you give them $100 and you get to have as many people as you want to watch.
What they're going to have to do, I think, to really survive is there's the theaters and the AMC, then the Dolby Theater, which is beautiful. It's the reclining chairs. They're massive reclining chairs that you can sit down in. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, but like, don't they make more money on like the buying of the popcorn and the soda
the
and stuff like
yeah,
that?
The
concessions are much more important to them than, because the movie's not.
That's why the Dune popcorn bucket, which went viral online, well, genuinely helped AMC a lot because of how viral it was, and like now they're doing one for Ghostbusters where it looks like they're ghost catching machine, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like
they
started like, with the Barbie car too. Like,
yeah,
and you can never find them when you go. Like, those things sell out like that night.
We didn't see that when we went to the theater. The Barbie car.
Because those things.
It's all collectors. People will go there and buy 50 of them and not see the movie. You know, but it's like that.
Where the people in the theater will keep some aside and sell.
You
know what I mean? But I didn't realize. Yeah. So and Ghostbusters is coming out.
This week,
this new Ghostbuster. I mean, to segue that, but I was I just know that these themed popcorn buckets are another like gimmicky thing that does help keep the theaters afloat. Is like this collector's idea of like wanting these.
Yeah, because that you could spend a ton of money going there for the concessions, like because you like to. If I'm gonna when I go, I gotta get popcorn. Yep. I got to get a candy to go with the popcorn. I got to get a soda, you know, and then you're spending $35, $40 easy for that stuff, you know. And I mean, I'm not cheap, but I can make a meal and have it and watch my movie and then be comfortable and not have to worry, like you said, Mike, if be quiet. You don't want to say even be quiet to somebody because you don't know what's going to, you know what I mean? I don't want to sound like the old man here, but I don't want to go and be like, could you keep it down or whatever. No,
just a much more convenience of being
with.
Like, it's not like I don't want to watch, like, I can have like 15 of my friends, you know, I can watch a movie like me and you upstairs. It's not like I'm like, I need to be alone watching. But it's like, it's an easier to me, like, if I gotta get up, hey, can you pause? I gotta use the bathroom.
Yeah,
it's just so much more convenient to me. But that's
yeah, because you never know when, like, if you're in the theater, I gotta, you know, do I get up now to get my drink again? Or am I gonna miss that big scene that I'm, you know what I mean? And you're waiting, and
but then there is like the total, like, to completely contradict myself. There is a fun, like, the Phantom Menace is coming back in May to theaters,
right?
And like, I want to go see that in theater, but for the fact that, like, again, I'm gonna go on a weekend, like in a midday, I want to go to an empty theater, like,
well,
that.
You can rent a theater.
It's also one of the worst Star Wars movies ever, so it's like, it's not gonna be packed anyway at the lines. But I feel like that's again where it's like there's an experience when it could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But for a movie like Dune, again, where it's like, it is, I will admit, a spectacle to see, and you probably do benefit from the IMAX. I'm like, I'm over packed theaters in that sense. Like, I would much rather see The Phantom Menace, like, alone in a theater like that than seeing an IMAX with, like, a midnight release with, like, 500 people. Like, I don't need that experience, personally. Right. But I, like I said, I will definitely be going to see The Phantom Menace in theater.
Well, you know, with TVs being so big, though, now, you know what I mean, too? It looks like you're, like, if you're in your living room and you got a 50-inch or whatever-inch TV, it's like you're in the theater. You know what I mean? It's just, but it's right for you. It's not this big, you know, if you have to sit, or sometimes you're sitting right in front because you got there late or whatever, and you're looking like this, watching it.
Oh, yeah, like 4K. Like televisions that do, like, was it 200, like, hertz or whatever, like that, they're just as good as the IMAX screens at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I was thinking about it, when I was in, you know, high school and in my 20s, you know, and a little bit even pre-COVID, like, I would go to the movies almost twice a week. Now it's like, you know, I mean, I haven't seen a movie in a really long time in theaters because it becomes just...
Well, there hasn't been a lot of great. I mean,
There hasn't been a lot of great movies, and, you know, I don't know. I feel like, you know, I never have the time to do anything that I want. Anyway, there's always something going on, but
right.
I think movies basically are going to become like plays now. I don't think movie theaters are going to go away, and maybe that's just wishful thinking, but I don't think that they're going to go away.
No.
But I think it's just going to be more.
Well, not if Nicole Kidman has anything to say
about
it.
No,
because when you hear your at home, you know, it's
well, that's another, they made merchandise off that became a whole thing. Like, you could buy, like, a stuff because of that corny video,
right so in the funny. Beginning of that they have to show you, and you're like, okay, this is, but a lot of movies they make go right to stream anyway, you know what I mean? It's not like I got it, because if they're not making money, they're out of the theater, you know, they're not staying.
Yeah,
if a movie's not like, oh, I'll catch that.
It's funny because there's a little. I did kind of love the Warner Brothers type thing with the dual releases that they were doing during COVID, where it was like, okay, theater or streaming. And then now things have moved away from that. But it's also like, again, Madam Web, like, let's just say, because that movie bombed. It did really bad at the box office. A month after it came out, it was already, now they're already having it on streaming because of that, and they're already making, like, all these, like, they're posting, like, all these videos online and stuff like this. So it's like, really, I was so bummed that it was moving away from this, but they really, now it's like a month wait, where, remember when, like, movies, especially before streaming, like, a movie would come out, and then a year later, the DVD would come out for that.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, the turnaround became quicker. It was like, okay, now, like, 8 months, then, like, 6 months. Now it's like, you wait a month, you wait, like, you know, half a month. That movie that you want to see in theater is already on streaming, right? Even though they're not doing dual releases, it's like...
And when I was younger, and I didn't mean to cut you off, I'm sorry. I mean, you would wait, and then it would be on TV with commercials. I mean, you know, you're sitting through, like, oh, The Godfather's finally on, or... whatever, but there's so this movie would takes forever because they're cutting it into, it was the Sunday night movie or the Saturday night movie, or then when HBO first started, they made the big deal, you know, Saturday night movie, you're gonna, you know, watch it on HBO, and now you're like, I can get it whenever. I don't have to watch it that night, or but it's streaming. But it had commercials in it when I was growing up. I was like, oh my God, you got to sit through this. And then it was chopped up and you're missing the whole thing. At least when you're streaming it now, you get the full movie, not commercialized version of it. Because you can't watch a movie on regular TV. You know what I mean? Like the broadcast network. It's pointless because it takes away the whole thing. At least when you're streaming it, you're getting the whole effect of it. And like I said, if you got a big screen TV, it's like, whoa, this is great. And it's saving you $50 or $60 for the night and whatever.
Yeah, that goes into it. It's so much cheaper. You're already paying for the streaming
service. Yeah, you're paying for the streaming service anyway.
The movie ticket now is like insane.
Well, you know, there's so many pieces of this about how, like, you know, physical media is going away, which isn't necessarily a good thing, but it's like, you know, it's all just cost. It's like you spend a lot of money to go to the theater. I mean, the amount of money that I spend on cable and then the streaming services, and now the streaming services are cracking down on more, and there's more streaming services to get.
I know.
Then you've got, you know, it's like I'd love to, you know, still like buy DVDs, but I don't have any space for them. You know,
yeah, but who has DVD players anymore? Are they coming back or something like that?
It's just the thing that's frustrating, I think, for a lot of us is a lot of things are just disappearing. Like, you could, even like when you bought a movie on Amazon, they could choose to just delete that, even though you bought it. Like, all those people, like, who had Crunchyroll, which was
Funimation.
And Funimation, there were two streaming services that merged. Now, there's all these people who had one streaming service, and they bought the movie through the streaming service, so they owned it. But when they merged with another one, the company said, oh, no, you don't own that anymore. So they spent, like, the $30.
And they didn't get, like, refunded for that, because that happened when we had cable, a certain cable company, which I won't mention. I had it there. It was gone. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I paid for the movie. I can't remember which one. It was like cheap, but I'm like, but it's off my system here. How did this happen? You know what I mean? I need to try to call them or whatever. You know, it's not worth the aggravation of the $10 I paid to buy the movie. It wasn't even a great movie, and I can't even remember it, but I was annoyed at the point where, like, why would that go away? I bought the thing.
That's what's very, very concerning there's a big movement now to preserve physical media, because now, too, there's, like, old DVDs are, like, rotting, so, like, a lot of stuff doesn't, like, it's just, like, blinking out of existence, and it's, you know, saving what they can. It's scary what could become lost media, and, you know, like, will you ever get the stuff that you had? Can you ever own something if you don't own the physical copy? And there's just so much, you know, I hate the word content, but there's just so much stuff now.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track, and you really have to, you know, spread your pennies to get everything you want. There's good stuff on every one of these services, and you know, buying stuff. It's very interesting right now to consume things, you know.
I want to go from a movie you saw in the theater. Now, when I talked to you last time, you did say you watched Mea Culpa.
I did watch Mea Culpa, yes.
Now, last week you hadn't.
I hadn't, yeah.
Now, you want to give me a couple of minutes of what you thought of? Because I know Mike's not, not a movie that Mike's going to.
Me and Erica watched it, and it's fantastic. Right. It is
fantastically so.
Just it is
crazy
up there with just in the pantheon of good bad movies.
It's exactly what it is. It's a good bad movie.
And the greatest thing too is, because what makes a real good bad movie is there's nothing worse than a movie that knows it's being bad and it's trying to be a good bad movie. This movie takes itself deathly serious.
Really? And the plot twists are like, what? Where are you going with this?
I did call the twist before it happened. Right. But it's so bonkers that you can't believe it. And you know, I don't want, you know, any issues with Tyler Perry. But
no, of course. He's welcome to come on here. But you can't hit a home run every time. And this movie was not.
And this man has just made a career of just making, you know, singles somehow become billion-dollar movies.
Yeah.
Because if you watch some of his movies, like this is up there with how crazy some of them can be. And I think he's quite a good actor. Like, he was really good in Gone Girl. He's great in Gone Girl.
Yeah, yes.
He's really good in the Chaney movie. I can't remember.
Oh, the Dick Cheney movie?
Vice?
Yeah, Vice. Yeah, yeah. He was one of the better things about Vice. But yeah, I mean, some of his stuff is just totally nuts. And this movie is just peak nuts. I cannot recommend it enough.
Really?
It's so good.
If you ever want to see a funny, serious movie, Mike, this would be the one to see. It just takes you and you're like, what? Where did that come from? I'm like, but it was the number one, talking about streaming, it was the number one movie for a while on Netflix.
It deserves it so much.
It was so good.
You don't have a bad time watching that bad movie.
No.
I thank it. It's just, you're not the same after that.
Glad you did your homework assignment. We had talked about Clive Owen a couple of weeks back, and I was telling Mike about this movie, which I had forgotten that he did, called Inside Man. Did you ever see that with Denzel Washington?
I saw that opening
weekend.
Now,
that's an old, years ago, but it still holds up. Well, it's at least 10 years old.
I think it's 2005, 2006.
But
I'm still in high school in my mind.
It still holds up. It's a really, really good movie. And it's just the Clive Owen and Denzel Washington together. And it happens to be on, like, I think it's Showtime, or I saw it, or whatever. It's streaming again, so like on the whatever. But I'm telling you,
it's a great movie,
really. And I watched that over some of these new ones that are coming out. When I said I couldn't remember, like, you know, I forgot even the plot of the thing because it's been a while since I saw it. I'm like, this is really, he's really good, Nikolai Owen. And Denzel, of course, doesn't really ever do really bad.
Yeah.
You know. Many, you know, he's done maybe, you know, I don't want to say anything bad about Denzel.
Let's say he's been in bad movies, but he's never been bad.
That's right. That's the best way to put it. He's been in, yeah, exactly. That's
it. Very few bad movies, but he's never been bad in a movie.
No, he's very good. He's not Denzel, he's the character in every movie. You know what I mean? He's really good about just how good he is, and his movies are so amazing. He really is but I don't want to get too heavy in
Denzel. Well, he's a great interview, and he's also an invite.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. He's another invite. You know, Mikey, you were talking about that you watch, like, baseball stuff, and now, but I just want to bring up a couple of things. Like, have you heard about, like, Shohei Ohtani, who is the biggest star?
He's the only baseball player I know.
In baseball.
I know what you're talking about.
Right? Now,
his interpreter gets, his interpreter was fired by them. And
the
then,
Dodgers.
Yes.
Right.
And in accused of stealing like $4 million of Ohtani's money and placing bets through an illegal bettor.
Right, from a bookie. It was an illegal bookie that he went to.
So this was, Ohtani had no knowledge of this?
Well, that's the thing now. They don't know, because his story changed. Like, one time he said, like, first he said it was put out there that the interpreter did it all. Took the money and Ohtani didn't know. Then they interview the interpreter for 90 minutes. They let him speak to reporters, and he said, no, he knew, because he was betting, you know, I was betting on, games, no baseball. We never bet on baseball. We bet on soccer. We bet on golf. We bet on football, but we never bet on, you know, baseball. And there's some, now they're saying that checks that they had that said loan that he wrote on it, and it was in his computer that they were able to look at, and they're like, well, did Ohtani, you know about it, or he did? It's still kind of wide open, what's going on?
There's no real, like, concrete thing right now. I mean, in the sense of, like, everything's still kind of like, what the hell's going on?
It is odd.
Is
gambling legal?
Well, not if you go through this was a bookie. He wasn't going through DraftKings or MGM or anything that.
So $4 million worth of
betting. Like, and I saw it. I said, wow, he got swindled out of this money, Ohtani. And then it's like, no, he knew, and he didn't know, or they bet. And I don't even know. Because I'm getting conflicting things. Did he or did he not? And the funny thing is,
because that's the thing too, is that the internet is running with it. Like, a lot of people on the internet.
Oh, Ohtani knew. Is he going to be suspended?
Because that's the thing that so many people, like, again, nobody really knows. But now the joke on the internet is, oh my God, who's the guy who got banned from Baseball Hall of Fame?
Pete Rose.
Yeah, so a lot of people are like, Ohtani's the next Pete Rose and all this stuff, and he's betting. But I feel like it's also partly because, you know, he's the biggest name in baseball. So people love to watch the biggest guy fall. all. But I don't mean it like that. You don't know. He could have been involved, too.
He could have. That's
he
just
could
it.
Not
you
have.
Don't
but
know.
It's like people are already very happy to jump on the train that he was involved.
And the
because of.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
No,
cut
no,
you off.
Yeah, because of how big he is.
Right.
But.
And the funny thing is, the Dodgers and the Padres played in Seoul, Korea, 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
The story breaks when he's in, and he's huge, obviously. You know, in the whole Far East, he's the man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so the story breaks. They wouldn't let him talk to reporters after, because first of all, they don't even have, like, he needs another interpreter because they fired his interpreter. But the other thing is, they opened these 2 games that they played count. Like, they count for the season to start. Meanwhile,
when does the season start?
It's going to start at the end of March, beginning of April. Like, that's. But there's one more week of spring training games. So the Dodgers play 2 games in Seoul, Korea.
Okay.
They're going to fly back, and now they're going to play just exhibition games, preseason games. But they've already played 2 games. But this was a big thing. And the weird thing is, Shohei Ohtani, you're playing these games in Korea,
mm-hmm.
where he's already a mega star.
Mm-hmm.
The game started here at like 6 in the morning, you mm-hmm. know, or 9 in the morning, whatever it was, you know, difference in time. So you're not getting up really, unless you're a Dodgers or a Padres fan, to watch these games that count. And the weird thing is, this whole story breaks while he's in Korea. So you can't even, like, you know, he's got to fly back now, work on all this and figure out, well, did you bet? Did you not bet? Did you know? Did you not know? It's incredible. And the guy signed a $700 million deal. You know what I mean? So that's the other thing here. He deferred a lot of his money, but this is a big deal for baseball because Mikey saw him at a Met game. You went with Steven and everything else, and you had the hats. They had the special hats and everything.
Literally the only baseball player that I can name, and I know it's
he's like the biggest thing.
He could play both. He could play basically offense and defense in baseball.
Right.
Yeah,
he can pitch. He can hit. He can do. He plays.
Which is funny because he got the surgery, so he can't pitch. But he was still hitting. He hit a home run so high up into a closed stadium, they broke the ceiling. This most recent time. So he's
incredible.
Yeah.
He's an incredible athlete, baseball player. I hope for baseball's sake, because that's one thing that baseball needs is a star that. Like, the NBA wants to grow the game, and it did. The Dream Team, when that was with Jordan and Barkley and all the rest, that made Europeans really get into basketball more and more. Mm-hmm. That Dream Team did more to make basketball global and that sport global. Every other sport's trying to do that. Baseball is popular in, you know, obviously in Japan and Korea, in you know, Latin American countries it is, but that effect and players coming into it from different countries is immense. But baseball, to grow it, they also have to keep it in America to get the younger kid, because baseball skews older than any other sport. You know what I mean? And that's, you have to get younger kids into it. And this was the face of baseball.
Like, you don't know what's going to die first, golf or baseball. Basically,
golf is totally with the LIV Tour, and then half it's the LIV Tour, and then they want to merge, and they're going to, that whole thing in golf is
golf's
crazy.
A shit show.
And the only thing is, I watch, like for golf, I watch the Masters and the British Open.
Yeah.
The U.S. Open, okay, it's on Father's Day weekend, whatever. But, like, I like the Masters because it's,
mm-hmm.
That's their tournament. They do everything their way. It's pristine, and I like. And the British Open, you never know what the weather is. One hole or the next, it's crazy. Like, they had the Players' Championship in Florida, and the one hole where it's all water. I didn't watch a minute of it, and I don't really care. I only care about the majors anyway in golf. But, and I like Rory McIlroy. That's my favorite golfer. But, like, you know, if he wins, he wins. If he, you know, I want to see him win majors is what I want to see. Right. I don't care about some of these other tournaments, and no one, I mean, the amount of money that these guys are getting on the LIV Tour, you know.
And does anybody watch that?
Well, it's on the CW, and I don't even get the CW on. It's on like channel, you know, 11 or whatever, you know, the CW. Well, that was just the CW. It's not 11 anymore, you know, but whatever. But as far as that goes, that's crazy. Golf is in in dire need.
I just saw a thing about it, and I didn't get it until you just said it, but it was like, baseball, we want to grow the game. Also baseball, the first game will be shown at 3 a.m. and blacked out on 90%. It's like
you're not cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Right,
right. You want to grow the game at home first. It's you know, America's pastime. And it's great that they're doing it, but you don't have to grow the game in Korea or Japan. It's huge there.
No, if anything.
You know what I mean? Like, the Yankees are going to play, I believe, in Mexico. They're going to play a game, which I get because, you know, there's many, you know, great players that came from, you know, all Latin American countries. And I mean, wherever.
The Yankees should be playing in the Dominican Republic. You know,
like, right, like, you in know. The Caribbean, play, yeah. Wherever. But if you're going to grow the game, like the NFL doing these Germany, England, whatever, you know what I mean? It's okay, but...
But baseball is, like you're saying, like, I believe it's the number one sport in Japan.
Oh,
I think like, soccer and baseball are the number one sports in South Korea, I think. What they should be doing is bringing over, because now that stuff's, like, kind of mainstreamed here, they should be bringing, instead of us going there, they should be bringing some of that energy here, because the way they watch baseball games in Japan,
right.
They have cheering sections, they have all this stuff. Like, it's almost like a soccer match energy
right.
for baseball.
Oh, they have it a big time. In they have cheerleaders in Japan and Korea. I mean, they have, like, the whole thing. It's a big deal. The lights go out in the stadium, and they do, like, you know, light up wristless and everything else. It's a big, big deal there.
The MLB would be smart if they said, if they brought, like, I mean, I can only name, I think it's the Onikashi Tigers, which are, like, Japan's Yankees. If they brought them here and did, like, a Yankee, an exhibition match, that might...
Well, they had that World Baseball Classic last year that Otani struck out Mike Trout to end it, to win it for, you know... And it was just, you know, a big, big deal for a lot of the other countries. But, you know, baseball here needs, you know, do it here, like you said.
That's what I'm saying. Bring
make
it here.
Make it here, or do an all-star game with, you know, or bring some, you know, they are getting players coming from Japan, like Otani, you know, in the far, whatever. But it's, we can't solve the problems of baseball.
No,
right now,
no,
but
I'm not the guy to do it.
Just going to end it with, we're going to talk a little bit of just the NCAA, unless there's something else, I'm just going to bring up the NCAA tournament just a little bit, just to give you my final four picks that no one should probably care about, but I have UConn, North Carolina.
Men's or what?
This is men's first.
This is a men's first.
Right. Men's first are UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee.
Your final four.
Those are my final four, and I have UConn beating Tennessee in the finals. Now, it's tough for me because I love North Carolina basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're playing, obviously, Notre Dame in football or basketball, I don't root right. for them. But when Notre Dame, of course, they didn't make the tournament, the men's, and we won't dwell on that. So that's what I'm going with. And if you just want to know my final score, is 78-73, UConn beating Tennessee in the final.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Is Gonzaga in it?
Gonzaga is in it.
Aren't they like a fifth seed?
They are in it. They are, in fact, Gonzaga Mike is a fifth seed. You are correct.
Because
Mike was helping me this.
I know absolutely nothing about
it. In women's basketball, my final four.
Why do you love Gonzaga? Or...
Oh, I don't. I just like the name, so they're going to win.
That's all I'm saying. You know what? And what you just said is a lot of things that people do. Like,
exactly.
Oh, Gonzaga.
That's a joke. Yeah,
you got to go Gonzaga.
Like, I just remember
the
day.
Because, as you mentioned, we're recording on a Thursday, and so it did start today. They said after only two games, only 15% of people's brackets are still undefeated. After only two games. Only 15% of people's brackets.
It must be a mathematical near,
that's a billion percent chance. That's why there's
of acing it.
That's why there's a thing like you can win $1 billion if you get a perfect bracket, because there's like a mathematical improbability that you will get all of these correct.
All right.
Yeah,
my women's final four.
Women's,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. Women's, I went with Iowa, UConn, Stanford, and South Carolina. Those are my final four picks.
And Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa?
Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. See, the fact you know that, the women's game, you know more than the men's game.
I know about
right
her
there.
Because I know that, like, political candidates were courting her. Like,
everybody.
Everything's been around that.
She's the Taylor Swift of basketball, okay? That's what I'm going to say. And she's And she's gotten people to look at the game, not only the women's game and the men's game, from looking at the players from the past and bringing up like Pete Maravich and Cheryl Miller, who's a great player, and on and on. You can go on and on with the women's game, how many great players they've had. And Dawn Staley, who's the coach of South Carolina, who I have winning the tournament.
Oh,
South Carolina beating Iowa. I don't think it's going to be a Cinderella thing for Caitlin Clark. I think they're going to get to the finals, but I think that, and they do play, if it works out for Iowa and LSU, they are going to play before the Final Four, so that'll be an interesting matchup too. But I'm going with
that's a rematch.
Iowa.
That I knew that there was something that happened last year that was like
right. But they had the, you know, you see me the whole thing with that. Yeah, Iowa, UConn, Stanford, and South Carolina for the women. I have UConn. You know, whatever. Now, the hardest thing for me was Notre Dame is seeded number 2 in the same bracket as South Carolina. Mm. And it took a lot for me not to pick the Notre Dame women to go to the Final Four, and it kind of betrays my, you know, my love for them. You're I would love to see it. I'm wearing a Notre Dame hoodie, and it breaks my heart. But as I said, this is subject to change because I could, you know, when it gets down to the Sweet 16, I might reflip.
Oh, you might. Oh, so
yeah, I okay. might because I don't have any money invested in. So just my own house. Pride and whatever. Now, I'd love to see the Notre Dame women win the whole tournament. It would be amazing. But I'm happy that they made the tournament better than the men's have done. They've been much better over the years.
And you don't have money in this, but your Japanese interpreter is
betting. Right, yes, but some of my, yes. Well, I yes, that's so. Why I fired him.
And a couple yes. of checks say
now,
low.
You know, here's the funny thing, too. You're the interpreter, right? You're fired by the Dodgers. You're in Korea. How are you getting home?
Well, it seems like he's got money.
Does he? I'm sure he wasn't, you know, he'd have to be like a regular guy now, getting ticket to go on.
I don't think I'm sure Otani paid him okay.
He was hired through the team.
He was hired through the team.
He's not Otani's personal
interpreter. The Dodgers fired him, not Otani.
Oh, that's so weird because I think I just remember that like when Matsui
they've been friends, they know, but the Dodgers hired this man to work. So you're okay, and it's like, you know, it's like when they fire coaches as the game, you know, as the end of the game, like, sorry, thanks for you're out. You know, go to the locker room, maybe shower and go, you know, and we'll clean your office out for you. There's a guy, I'm, you know, living in L.A. now. I'm living the life. I'm Otani's interpreter. I'm flying. I'm sure they let Otani sit in first class on this airplane. He's going to sit wherever he wants or just get his own airplane.
I'm sure they've got their own airplane.
You know, he's good, you know. So I'm not worried about Otani here when he's got $700 million coming.
Oh, yeah.
But his interpreter is like, come home, or do I want to come home at this point? Do I want to stay here to avoid all this stuff? Because there's a lot of stuff going on here. But yeah, I was just curious, like, you know, he's waving on the tarmac and they're taking off and he's not going there. But
we'll do an update on this.
We will do an update on the as it breaks. So I want to thank Zach. I want to thank Michael. And no one, if you're listening, go with my picks. I'm telling you right now.
This is a cautionary tale. Before we wrap up, just quickly, why do you think Ohio's not good? Did they not build a strong team around Clark? Is she carrying the team?
Oh, Iowa.
Well, I think they'll get to the Final Four.
Yeah.
And I think she'll get to the finals. I just think South Carolina, they're undefeated again this year, South Carolina.
God, that happens. Seems like a lot in college.
They played really. They're just a really good team. They lost a lot of players from last year's team. They're back again. They lost, you know, in the semifinals. It's just something I don't know. Like, I'd love to see the storybook ending.
As the Rangers with Hank, when you have one really good player, but other teams have really good teams.
That's more what I was wondering. Right. Yeah.
It's less building around her because it's a college thing. So
yeah. Only so much like you can do, but she has led them and carried them on her back the whole tournament, season. Yeah. And like, I'd love to see the storybook ending that she wins it. And I'll just end on this. She doesn't need a championship to validate what she's done for basketball, men or women, or just the sport itself. You know, we get hung up on that a little bit. Oh, they never won a championship. They never, Dan Marino never won a championship of football, and we've talked about that. Anybody in their right mind would want Dan Marino being their quarterback. You know what I'm saying? For your football team in his prime. So, or Charles Bark, you know, all these great players that have never won. What she's done for the women's game, for the men's game, for basketball in general has been amazing. And she, it's been basically, it's been the Taylor Swift wave with football and Caitlin Clark for basketball.
Right.
I mean, you know, Shohei Ohtani and Caitlin Clark.
Yeah. And I know nothing about this stuff. Yeah.
But
yeah,
the thing is, you know them. And she's, there's supposed to be a really great article in ESPN by Wright Thompson about Caitlin Clark. And I haven't read it yet, but it's supposed to be really in-depth, like her whole life. And he's a really good writer, so I recommend it, even though I haven't read it yet. But whatever he pretty much writes, he's really good. So that's our show for the... for the night. Zach, anything to add or we're good?
Nope.
Mikey?
We're good.
Well, thank you guys for doing this. I appreciate it. And tune in again.